Amen. Take your holy book, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13, the Bible says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." I want to preach this morning, and I kind of give you a hint of it last week, Lord, if I lead us this direction, on a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Now we see this morning, and we see this man called Saul. And if anybody knows the Bible, you know who Saul is. Saul was the first king of Israel. Amen? Everybody know that, right? He was the first king of Israel because Israel had to have a king. Now why did they have a king? Well, they had to have a king because everybody else had one. Amen? Why did they have a king? Because God wasn't good enough. God wasn't substantial enough. Amen? They had to have a king. Samuel said, you won't want a king because he's going to take the best of everything to run the kingdom. Said, so you don't run it? And they said, no, we want to be like all the other nations. We want to have a king. Amen. We want to have somebody to rule over, somebody to direct us. They had God. But you know, and we'll come down on Israel and say, well, boy, they were really foolish. They had God. He brought them out of Egypt. After 420 years in bitter bondage, God heard their pleas, and he sent Moses and Aaron, and they brought them up out of Egypt. Brought them across the sea, praise God, dry shawl. He dried it up, praise God, and they went across, didn't even get their sandals wet. Amen? But they got on the other side. He defeated the nations in Canaan, gave that place to them. But they come to a place, they said, no, this ain't good enough. We need a king. So God said, okay, if they want a king, give them a king. So Samuel went out and he found this man. There was you know the story, the Paul Harvey version. I'll get you real quickly. It was a time of drought, and they were looking for their asses. They'd lost their mules, and they were trying to find them. And so when Saul's out there, he runs across Samuel, and Samuel says, hey, listen, God's going to anoint you to be king. Amen. So Saul says, okay, if you say so. Amen. And he went back. Of course, he meets his uncle. His uncle says, hey, listen, said, what's going on? Said, well, we come and run across this prophet Samuel. And Samuel said, everything's okay. He said, they found your mules. They know where they're at. Everything's good. But he never told his uncle nothing about being anointed to be king. Amen. And so it comes down to coronation day when they're going to anoint him king and they can't find him. Now he's a man, he's head and shoulders, he's like Brother Jason back there, he's head and shoulders above the rest. That's what the Bible says about him. He was a tall man. But they couldn't find Saul. They looked all over for him. They couldn't find him. And they began to question themselves, you know, where is this man? If you go back go back a few chapters in your Bible, you'll find it. Chapter number 10, he said, therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. So they say, where is he at? Isn't he going to come? Doesn't he know? Didn't he get the memo? Did somebody forget to tell him that today's coronation day? Amen. Pretty important day. Amen. This man's life. He's going to become the first king of the nation of Israel. Amen. And he said, Lord, the Lord answered. He said, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Amen. He said, he's in one of the wagons. He's hiding in the stuff. Now this is a man that's going to be king. And you have to wonder, well, preacher, there's one that said, well, he was just so humble and full of humility that he just didn't want to make a spectacle of himself. Amen. Was it that he didn't want to be he was hiding in the stuff, people. Amen. That it was coronation day, the day that he was supposed to be out and present. He was supposed to present himself as the king of Israel. And he's hiding in a wagon. Amen. into stuff. So that tells me what? He wasn't only hiding in the wagon, encapsulated himself with the stuff in the wagon. He was literally hid. He hid. I mean, they weren't going to get him out. But was it humility, or was it an irresponsibility? Praise God. A lack of responsibility, unwillingness to be responsible. Hello? Now you're talking about a man that's taken out of sheepfold and put into a big position. Amen? A place of authority, if you will. Amen? It was also a place where he had to have a willingness to be obedient. Obedient to a holy and righteous God. Amen? So we see it laying out here, and we see him, and then when we get to 13, praise God, he comes before Samuel, and Samuel lays it out to him. And he says this in verse number 14. Now he told him that he had an opportunity to do good. In verse 13, Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly." Now what Samuel had done, he had seen the enemy coming. And Samuel told him, said, "Hey, look, you go to Gilgal and you wait there." And said, "I'll be there in about 7 days." Well, he gets there, and 7 days come and go, and Samuel hadn't showed up. And they see the enemy surrounding them, and he's afraid of them. So the Philistines begins to take things into his own hands. See now, anybody ever do that? Just take things. We've got one honest person, two honest people in here, three honest people here. Praise God. We take things in our own. We say, "You know what, Lord, I got this." Where's that left you? Amen. Well, so many times, praise God, we say, "Lord, I got this." And a little while later, you're saying, "Lord, help me. I ain't got this." But he said, so he comes in and he begins to make these offers. He sets up an altar. And the man of God ain't there, so he said, "I'm just going to have to do this myself." Amen. So he steps up and he begins to offer up offerings as if he were a priest. Now he's already a prophet, remember? When Samuel said, he said, "You're going to go over and you're going to meet some prophets, and they're going to be prophesying, they're going to be just praising and giving God glory." And Saul, I can see Saul, you know, he's like us. He said, "Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to meet them prophets, and I'm going to prophesy." That's what I thought when God called me to preach. He said, I'm going to send you out to preach." And I said, "Yeah, right. You're looking at a kid, I don't even get up and read a book report. I don't give a book report, an oral book report. And you tell me, I'm going to be preaching?" "Right, Lord. Sure." Amen. And we see as it lines out here, and so he's got this thing, and he's bringing this place, and he says, "You're going to prophesy, you're going to meet this prophet," and he gets there, praise God, and he sees these prophets, and all of a sudden the power of God falls on him. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? You have seen the power of God fall on you. You said his presence, praise God. You've been so real that you got to help it, and you didn't care. Yeah. Just praise God and just begin to give him glory, begin to lift him up, magnify. Talk about glorious things. Praise God, how wonderful heaven's going to be. So Saul, he began to prophesy. Amen. He's done been made king. He's getting ready. He's done it. By this point, he's done been made king. And now he wants to present himself as a priest. Hello? And Samuel comes to him. He said, "Man, you've done messed up." He said, "There's only one prophet, priest, and king." Anybody know who that is? Jesus. There's only one prophet, priest, and king, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all three, praise God. And I'm going to say this morning, he does a wonderful job at all of it. Amen. Can I get a witness? He does a wonderful job as prophet, priest, and king. Glory be to God. But Samuel said, "You messed up." He said, "Ye shall do..." Wrong verse. He said, I'm getting so excited. He said, "Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." He said, "Glory to God, look what you could have had. God would have established you forever." You know, God, if we'll put our faith and trust the Lord, just do what he says, he'll establish us forever. Amen. He'll save you by his marvelous grace, praise God, prepare you for heaven and save you for eternity. Now, we have a struggle with that this morning because we can't get our mind around eternity. How long is eternity? It's a long, 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 long time. Amen. Praise God. It's bigger than forever. Hello? Amen. So he tells him this. He said, if you would have just done what you told, what God asked you to do, he said, you could have been set. Amen. Praise God. You could just been receiving the blessings of God. He said, you could have had great success instead of failures. Look back at chapter number 12. Chapter number 12, verse 14. He shows us that the secret to success. He says, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Amen. He said, if you'll just listen to the Lord. He said, you'll continue. He said, you'll be prosperous. You'll have great success. But look, verse 15, he says, the secret to failure. Verse 15, he said, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. They didn't have a place to live. Remember, for 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness. Amen. Looking for a place. Amen. But he says, he'll give you success. Amen. Don't stop there. Go to verse 24. He reiterates this. He said, verse 24, he says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. See, that's where it is. It's a heart attitude. It's the heart that makes it. You know what's wrong with the church today? You know what's wrong with our fundamental independent Bible-believing churches today? We have a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. Ralph Sexton Sr. said one time that, and he was talking to his church, he said 80% of the people sitting in the fundamental independent Bible-believing churches are lost. He said, we've got an excellent head knowledge, but we don't have the heart knowledge. We've not accepted in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, all that He did for us. His death, burial, Brother Bill, the resurrection. That after 3 days, praise God, Jesus died, and after 3 days, He got up victorious over death and the grave so that we can as well. Amen. I don't know about you, that excites me. That means I don't have to die. Amen? You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're going to have to die. Everybody dies. No, He said, I'm not going to see death. But Jesus said, if you'll keep My commandments, do what I tell you, He said, you'll never see death. He said, we'll part out of this life, praise God. This old body will go back to the flesh, which comes, Ecclesiastes 12:7. He said, but the Spirit, praise God, that part that makes us live and breathe and have our being goes back to God who gave it. An instantaneous change, praise God, is going to take place. I've got to hurry along. Okay, so He gives us these things to have good success. He said, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. Think about what God's done for you. We have been blessed. But then He said the secret to failure is here. He said, but if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. Amen? So He's talking to him. He said, listen, there's a secret for success is just going with God. I love that thing. I think I'll just go with God. Amen? Praise God. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Just go with God. Praise God. Just trust the Lord. So we see this fellow. He's put himself up here as prophet, priest, and king. He said, that's not right, praise God, because you ain't. You can't, because that's the only ones ever that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. But he says what you could have been, praise God, if you had just trusted the Lord. But you've already messed that up. You've done foolishly. Praise God. But look what God's looking for. What God's looking for in a man, verse number 14. He said, a man after His own heart. That's what God's looking for. God is looking for a man after His own heart. Amen? You say, what is that? What is a man after God's own heart? Well, He talks about a little boy, a little shepherd boy named David. Amen? You know David? Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. Look over in Acts. Let's just tie this all together. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 20, 13 and 20. I'll go and read 8, but that'd be a lot of reading. Verse number 20. And Paul says, Paul's writing. Of course, Luke wrote the book of Acts. He was Emmaus. He was writing. He was a physician that went with Paul, and he's also the one that was in Emmaus. He would write a lot of Paul's dealings, praise God, in his ministry. And he writes this in verse number 20 of Acts 13. He said, after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years unto Samuel the prophet. So this is where we come in here. They'd sent them into Canaan. They had defeated those people in there in Canaan, the nations. And he sent this prophet, Samuel. He said, afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. Now watch it. This is God's testimony of a little shepherd boy named David. And said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Amen? So God says, this is who I'm looking for. This is who I've got. He said, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So from the loins of this sinner man, David, God would send a Savior. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, we've tried to figure this out, and it's hard to figure because David was a sinner. Amen. You say, well, how could a sinner, praise God, be in the line of heirs to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God was looking at his heart. Amen. God was looking at his heart. David's life was a mess. Hello? Have you ever read about King David? His life was a mess. He had lots of obstacles in his way, and his flesh was his worst obstacle. Amen? David was a liar. You said, preacher, you oughtn't to say that about King David, heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he was a liar, a big old fat liar. Many times he lied. He used deception. Remember when he went to Amalek? When Saul was after him, he went to Amalek and he said, hey, listen, I'm on an errand from the king. He was running for his life from the king. He said, I'm on an errand from the king, and these fellas is with me. They joined themselves to David, and he went there and he said, hey, listen, I'm on an errand from the king, and said, we need some of the loaves of your bread. Amalek said, hey, this is hollow bread. This is a sacred bread. He said, yeah, but said, we're on a desperate errand from the king, and we need some substance because we can't stop. We've got to keep moving. Amen. So he took it. He said, well, said, if you and your men are pure or clean, he said, if you at least abstain from women. And old David said, yes, we ain't been with a woman 3 days. Amen. So I said, he justified himself and he taken the bread. You know the rest of the story. He said, hey, and by the way, have you got any weapons here? Now, that ought to tip the priest off. But he said, yes, and I've got that old fella that was over there in the valley. That young man chopped his head off. So I've got that wrapped up back here. Said, I can give that to you. I don't really like it being here anyway. So David, great big liar, he took Goliath's sword. The same one that he had used to chop off the head of Goliath. And he took it and he left. Of course, it cost all the priests and their family their lives. You know the story. Doeg was there. He was a traitor and a scoundrel. And he went and told King Saul what was going on. Saul come and killed all the priests. A little lie, praise God, it will never do good. Amen. It's never good to lie. But David was a liar. Amen. You said, preacher, I don't. He was a liar. Amen. He was also an adulterer. The Bible said when the time of the kings come to go out and fight in the spring, he sent Joab out, the captain of his host, and he stayed behind. And late in the night, when I guess his conscience bothered him because he wasn't where he ought to be and where God put him to be. Amen. Sometimes we get tore up because our conscience bothers because we ain't where God would have us to be. You know how to fix that? Just fall on your face, repent, praise God, and just go with God. Amen. You'll be satisfied. But he wasn't there. He walked out on the roof of his house, and across from his palace was a woman named Bathsheba. And she was taking a bath in the moonlight. Now, a lot of times we blame David for all this, but why was she taking a bath on the roof at night, praying God, in the moonlight? Amen. Her husband was off in war fighting, and she was up on the roof exposing herself to the world. Of course, you know the story. Dave sent her and brought to him, and he lay with her, and she got pregnant. Amen. So David was a liar. He was an adulterer, and then he come up with an idea. Amen. A means of working this out. Praise God. So he tried to cover it up. So he called Joab and he said, "Hey, send Uriah to me." He comes up there, and Uriah was a greater man than him. David said, "Hey, you know, how's the battle going?" He tells him, he said, "Okay, here's you a mess of meat and some wine. Go down to the house and, you know, spend time with your wife." Amen. He's trying to cover it up, make him think that the baby was his, not David's. Praise God. That didn't work because Uriah was more righteous than him. Praise God. He just laid at in the servants' quarters that night. The next day got up and he's ready to do the king's bidding. So it rocked on. David he got another opportunity. David said, he's not going to go down to his house. So he sent a letter in his own hand. Uriah took a letter in his hand down to Joab. He said, "Put him in the heat of the battle that he die." So David was a liar. He was an adulterer. Praise God. He done all kinds of things to get around, to cover up his actions. And he was a murderer. He had Uriah murdered. You say, "Well, he didn't do it himself." He had Uriah murdered. Amen. But yet God says that he was a man after God's own heart. So how can it play out? We sat at the house a while back and tried to discuss this. And it's more than you can do in just a moment of time. But he said, how can he be a man after God's own heart when he was so deceitful and vile and wicked? Amen. Because it means that a man is, to be a man after God's own heart doesn't mean a man is perfect. Amen. There's not a person, there's not a man, one boy, girl in this world that are perfect. If you think you're perfect, praise God, the devil has got you deceived. There's none of us perfect, but we serve a perfect God who's able to do perfect things for me and you. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what is, you say, well, what is the man? In Acts chapter 22, it tells you. Amen. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. He said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." Watch this. "Which shall fulfill all my will." He said David was a man. He wasn't perfect. He done wicked and hateful and hurtful things. But he was desirous to do the will of God. Amen. We're going to mess up. We're going to have complications. Our life is going to be a mess just like David's. But praise God, we've got a God that if we'll look to do things according to His will, it'll make all the difference in the world. Amen. See, when David messed up, when he strayed from the path, he came back. Amen. He came back as quickly as he could. He didn't come back reluctantly. Amen. He didn't come back defensively. He didn't come back and say, "Well, preacher, that church, that bunch down there at the church made me do that. If it hadn't been for that bunch of old hellions down there, I wouldn't have got into that." Amen. He didn't put it off on somebody else. Matter of fact, David, he repented honestly, wholeheartedly. In 2 Samuel 12, 13, when Nathan come to him and said, "David," he said, there's a situation in the kingdom, and he laid it out for him about how a man had come in, and he had one little ewe lamb, and they took that little ewe lamb, and a man that was rich and had all kinds of lambs, he didn't use his own, but he took that poor man's lamb that fed at his table that he loved, just like one of his children, and he offered it up to that stranger that come to him. And David was riled. He was mad. He said, "Hey, listen," he said, "that man ought to have to pay fourfold." Amen. Nathan pointed him between Beek and Bill. He said, "That man is you, David." Amen. David says this. David said, he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Amen. He didn't say, well, it was the other man's fault. He said, I've sinned against the Lord. Amen? He doesn't just ask forgiveness. He doesn't just want forgiveness. He's asking for realignment. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? When we mess up and we're not perfect. And when we realize it, we are to come in repentance. Praise God. We are to come asking God for realignment. To line us up in the ways and the thinking of God. Amen? If we get that mindset, we're going to go somewhere. Praise the Lord. His alignment was out. Amen. He said, God, make my heart like yours. I want to have a heart like God. Amen. Look at, I read this to you the other day. Acts chapter 51, or Psalms 51. This was after the sin with Bathsheba and all the treachery and all the shenanigans that David had pulled. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to unto the multitudes, thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He said, I've missed the mark, Lord. Please forgive me. He said, wash me thoroughly of mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sinned, and my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said, Lord, you know my heart attitude. He said, I want you to adjust my attitude. Hello? Wouldn't it do good if we'd let God adjust our attitude? Amen. He said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He said, I'm broken spiritually. Amen. Praise God. He said, I don't want to cover it up no more. Praise God. He said, I want it to be made open. I want to make clear. I want to put it behind me. He said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. And look what he says in verse 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy sweet spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Amen. He said, praise God. He said, Lord, check my heart and help my heart to be more like your heart. He said, that's what my heart's desire is. I want to be more like you. Amen. I want to be more like my Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example today, church. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that through Him we might be saved. Amen. We have glorious salvation in Lord Jesus Christ. When we surrender, praise God. What? Surrender our heart. Amen. Become moldable in the hand of God. Now I know us men, today's Father's Day, I appreciate all of you, all of our fathers. But we have to be moldable. We have to let God mold us into the likeness and the image of Him. Amen. Let me just show you. Psalms 139, verse 23. David says this. Now this is the king of Israel. And he says this in Psalms 139, verse 23. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Amen? I mean, I got news for you. God already knows your heart. He knows to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. He knows your heart. David said, well, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Amen? You're talking about where the rubber gets the road, meets the road. A man after God's own heart, praise God, will want God to search us and show us where we need to be. And then He'll help us to get there if we'll let Him. Amen. Then He says in verse 24, and said, see if there be any wicked way in me. Now how would He know that? See, what we're missing in the world today, we want our morals to be good and clean and pure. That's good. But I'll tell you, your morals, and they holler, they even talk about it in government and then on the media all the time, talking about the morality of the world. What changes the morality of the world is Holy Ghost conviction. If there's no conviction, there will not be no morals in the world. We have to have, David said, Lord, with Holy Ghost conviction, with the Spirit of God, show me where I am so I can get myself where I need to be. Amen. I guarantee you these folks today, the Holy Ghost of God's dealing with your heart, maybe been dealing with your heart. But you're still pushing Him off. You're just playing a bit saw. Pushing Him off, going your own way. He said, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Lead me in the way of turning. Lead me in the way of salvation. Help me to stay on the right path. Help me to go in the right direction. Help me not to defer from that straight and narrow path. See, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. And I believe there's a lot of our people that's got on that broad way, and it's an easier way. You don't have to think about it a whole lot, and it's just kind of going with the flow and going with the world and going with everybody else. And it seems to be a good direction because there's no obstacles there. There's no opposition there. Amen. But when you try to go on that straight way, he said there's a straight way, praise God. And he said there's few that be that find it. Hello? Few that be that find it. It's a difficult path. I won't lie to you. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to live right. But we've got a God day, praise God. He said, a man after God's own heart, praise God, we've got somebody that's there to help us when we commit ourselves to Him. When we become a David, when we become moldable in the hand of God. See, you're just the clay on the potter's wheel. Amen. And don't begrudge the Father's hands when he lays his hands on you. Because you as the potter, praise God, you're full of bumps and lumps and obstacles, praise God, that needs to be dissolved out of your life. Amen. To make you what God would have you to be. And with them gentle and them loving hands, them cans of love and compassion, he's gently molding you. You say, preacher, sometimes I feel like his hands getting a little rough. He's putting a squeeze on me. Amen. That's because he has to. He has to squeeze out the infirmities in us. Amen. Our transgressions, our iniquity, the sinfulness, so that he can get that pure product, so that one day, Jesus said, he's going to present us to himself a vessel without spot or blemish or any such thing. Put you on a shelf of glory and say, here, Father, this is ours. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can take a little bit of squeezing. I can take a little bit of encouragement. I can take a little bit of pressure. Amen. Because I want to be a man after God's own heart. Amen. Even in my frail and imperfect way, I want to be like Jesus. I want my spirit to be molded. I want to have a tender spirit that God can mold me, make me what heaven be. Why? Because I don't know about you, I desire to be pleasing to God. I don't want to break His heart, and I don't want to make my God sad. You know, it breaks His heart, makes Him sad when we rebel against Him, when we go in the wrong direction, when we don't seek Him. It's so much more joyful, praise God, to know the Lord. To go with Him, to love Him, praise God, while He's loving on us. Amen. Wouldn't it be a glorious day just to get in and say, Lord, I just want to go with God. I want to put my hands in You, praise God, a man after God's own heart. Amen. A man that's seeking the Lord, that's staying true to God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you know what? I just want to seek the Lord. I just want to stay out of trouble. Amen. He said, if you want to seek God, you want to stay out of trouble, then just seek God with every fiber in your being. Amen. And oh, by the way, when you do that, it'll keep you out of trouble. Amen. It'll keep you out of trouble. When we seek the Lord Jesus Christ and we ask Him to help us in every aspect of our life, we won't be doing those things anymore that we oughtn't to do. Man, we'll start going to different directions. We'll start doing things according to the Word of God, according to the will of God, according to the way of God. That's what David said. That's what a man after God's own heart does. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl, after God's own heart. That's what we do. We seek to do the will and the way of God, go in the will and the way of God, asking God to help us every step of the way. And when we mess up, and you will, Amen? You will. We repent of it. Amen? That means you turn your back on it, never go back to it, and we go and we follow God. And we ask God to help us, and every day believing that He will, because we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling. I just ain't able to do all that. You can't do it by yourself. Oh, the devil will beat you down. Your soul flesh will run over you. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, not in your head, in your heart, He'll be there with you. He'll show you the error of your ways and the goodness of His. He'll help you to live a righteous life. That's what's right according to what God says. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend, this morning. I love you. God bless your sweetheart. If we're doing things that's contrary to the Word of God, we're not right with God. We're living unrighteous lives. Amen. And God says we're supposed to be righteous. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. What's right? And He said, Jesus said, everything that you need, God will supply. All these things shall be added unto you. He said, He'll set the table for you. He'll make things happen, praise God, like they've never happened before. But if we'll just trust the Lord Jesus Christ and seek the righteousness of what God says. Just seek what happened to Saul. How come Saul lost his place as king of Israel? Because he is disobedient to God. Because he rebelled against God. Amen. In the time of the Old Testament, it was different. Now, the time of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And if they grieved the Holy Spirit, if they went in the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit could leave them. Now the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We're better off for that. Because the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, He comes in, He dwells in your heart, and He goes with you, and everywhere you go, everything you do, He's there to help you. Amen. If you don't have Him, you don't have that. But if you have Jesus in your heart, if you've been born again, you have Him there every step of the way. Don't push Him back in a corner. Amen. Don't put Him in that darkest part of your heart. But every day, just welcome Him in as part of your life. And every day, He'll just set you a table. He'll get rid of old trashy stuff the world's been feeding you. Let me tell you this morning, youngins, the world will feed you a pack of lies that you'd be damned. Amen. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace, His mercy, His love, praise God, He'll feed you with the truth. And the truth, Bible says, will make you free. And you'll be freer and have more liberty than you've ever had in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. You'll become a man, woman, boy, or girl, a person, praise God, a person after God's own heart, according to do His will. As He says in Acts 13, praise God. He said, someone that'll do what I bid him to do. David was a man after God's own heart. He was willing, he was wanting to do the will of God. If we search ourselves today, in a moment of time, ask ourselves this morning, am I truly willing and wanting to do the will of God? Or I'm just running all by myself, hoping everything turns out okay. Let me tell you, it won't. It won't turn out okay because you can't run without God. I tell people all the time, and when we do marriage counts and stuff, make sure that you're saved, born again, that both of you love Jesus, and then work together with the Lord, and you can make it work. But without Him, it won't work. Amen. It won't work. It won't last. Amen. But if a person has Jesus in their heart, He'll help us, praise God. He'll make it till it works out. For we'll have that good success and not have so much failure. Amen. So today, as we look at this, and it's on Father's Day, we look at a man after God's own heart. We look at David, and we look at Saul. Saul was a man that messed up. He rebelled against God. He was self-willed in all that he did. He was selfish in all that he did. But David was a man after God's own heart. David messed up. He was a sinful person. But when the Holy Spirit convicted him of that sin, he would confess that sin. He would repent. And he would run to God. Amen. And he'd ask God. That's what we have to do too. Amen. As a child of God, if you mess up, if you sin, we have to repent of that sin. Amen. So it's covered by the blood. Amen. So we got to stay covered. Covered with the righteousness of Christ. This morning, God's speaking to your heart. Wouldn't it be a good day, praise God, just to get everything right with God? Become a man, a person after God's own heart. Not thinking about you, not thinking about where you are, what you're doing, but praise God, where God would have you to be. Praise the Lord. So that we don't miss out in something so glorious and spectacular as doing the precious will of God in these last days we live. We can do it. Church, we can do it if we come together one mind, one accord. Amen. To seek the God, seek the Lord with all of our heart, our body, strength. What He told them to do over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Amen. Keep God before your face. Amen. Anything else that tries to get between you and God, praise God, you got to get rid of it. Hello? Amen. You got to get rid of it. That's this Facebook and stuff like that is destroying our country. And now you got AI, it's coming even worse. Anything you can think of, it'll put out there for you. Amen. We're getting things on there. It's so wicked and vile, our children don't even need to be looking at it. Let me just say this. You don't need to be looking at it. We don't need to be looking at it. We need God, praise God. We need to be a man after God's own heart so we don't get caught up in sin. So we can keep doing the will of God in this last days that we live. We're living in the last days of dispensation grace. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. We're right at the end, Brother Bill. Something's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. God won't continue to let this thing go. If He did, He'll have called Sodom and Gomorrah out of the pit and apologize. We're living in a wicked day. And the reason we are is because we don't have God. We are not people after God's own heart, wanting and desiring to do the will of God. Even though we mess up, even though we have trials, even though things come up, praise God, that we transgress, we miss the mark. That just should lead us to try, Brother Chris, to do better. To do just a little bit better than we have before. You say, Pastor, why? Because, oh, Father, listen, these little old young ones, their peoples are watching us. They're watching our life. They're seeing the way we talk and act and the way that we react. Amen? They're watching us. But not only are they watching us, God's watching us. And He's saying to us today, listen, I can help you do better if you'll let me. I used to be real bad. I said used to. I have a temper. I get aggravated and frustrated real easy. Hello? Don't look at me like that. Amen. Don't get self-righteous on me. But I ask God to help me with that. And He has. And as soon as that starts boiling up, it's like Charles talking about that beeper on the back of that trash truck. It goes off. Beep, beep, beep. He said, hold on, buddy. Stop. Amen. Calm down. And boy, I just take a big old breath and say, okay, Lord, You got this. Amen. And then I say, Lord, how about a little help here? This old boy's struggling. I know none of you ever do that. I'm struggling. Need some assistance. Amen. He always comes through. Amen. To get it done. May not, and a lot of times it ain't even the way I thought about, but praise God, He makes it happen. When we have that patience, when we just put our trust in the Lord.